Thank you for tuning in to TKD Global Radio and Broadcast. I'm coming to you live from the right side of Washington, D.C. I'll tell Michelle and Barack that you said hello. I have a great word tonight to encourage you with. But first, let's go right into prayer. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Forgive us for our sins and cleanse us, Lord Jesus, from all unrighteousness in this hour. Let's draw near to you with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let your word dwell in us richly, O God, in this hour. Fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing you and being fruitful in every good work. And by being renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with forgiving one another, that we dwell together in the unity, in the unity, O God, of the faith, recognizing those who labor among us, esteeming them highly in love for their work's sake. I pray we all speak the same thing with no divisions among us, standing fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith, that we're not carried about with various strange doctrines, but we study rightfully dividing the word of truth, that we're not murmurers, complainers, walking after our own lusts, but are rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. I pray that the whole body be knit and joined together, Father, and that every part does its share, causing growth to the body. As each one has received a gift, let him minister it, my God, looking out for the interests of others. Let us all verbally love one another with a pure heart, so that we do not lose the things we have worked for. Let us become serious and watchful in our prayers, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Running with endurance the race that is set before us, setting our minds on things above and not on things on the earth, but pressing toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of you, O God. And then putting on the whole armor of you, God, that we may stand against the devil, that we will speak forth your word with great boldness, and that you will stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your son, Jesus. Oh, God, as we go forward in the world tonight, God, we just cover all the nations. God, I cover all the thousands of listeners that join this online broadcast weekly. Then, God, above all that and in all that, Lord, we stand as one, as we stand in the gap prayerfully, fervently for Baltimore City and Maryland. Oh, God, that there will be justice, God, on both sides. For you are God, and you are always in control. So, God, let the word that shall go forth tonight, oh, God, encourage everyone in the strength, in the power, and in the might of you, Jesus. So, God, we give TKD Global Radio and broadcast over to you completely. Have your way and have your will. Come on, somebody. If you're under my voice, just go ahead and just give God an amen. Glory to God. Give God a hallelujah for the peace that shall be rendered in the city of Baltimore. Give God a glory hallelujah for your family. Give God a glory hallelujah, amen, for your business. Give God a glory, hallelujah, that everyone in your family shall be saved, oh God. Give God a glory, hallelujah, that on tonight, after hearing this encouraging word, you shall never be the same. Oh, glory to God. Oh, God, I give you all the praise and all the glory that's due your name. Hide me behind the cross right now. Let it be all you and none of us, oh God, all you and none of us, if any may follow us, God. Let us fully decrease ourselves, God. They may see only you, that no flesh should glory in your presence. Have your way tonight, oh God. These airways belong to you. In Jesus' name, I'll see you in 2 minutes for a mighty word to encourage your spirit from the throne of God. I'm my, this song many, many years ago have gotten me through so many things when I really genuinely began to hear from the Lord, you know, and I would just say, you know, I begin to just pray. And then Donnie McKirkland made this song, and I think it had already been out for a couple of years before I really started hearing from the Lord. And I said, God, yes, that's where I'm at. Speak to my heart, God, you know, and I won't go without you. And so this song, I mean, it's personal to me. It genuinely ministered to me. I would just sing it, and although I would be singing it, it was ministering to my heart. You know, Lord, I don't want to go without you. You know, I'm not going without you. Speak to my heart. And people often can't believe when I tell them that. I think some think I'm exaggerating, but, you know, from that moment on, I mean, this is like 2006. And I'm telling you, I hear the voice of the Lord every single day. And so in retrospect, I can't understand when people say, well, the Lord spoke a word to me 3 years ago, and I'm holding on to that word, and he's never spoke since. I'm with you all up until he's never spoke since. Like, I'm like, really? And, you know, so, I mean, you know, we all are of the same spirit, the same body, but we have different assignments. You know, and I was just telling an apostle that I was talking to yesterday, and, you know, and I'm like, you know what, I have found the one person who can out-talk a woman. And he was like, who, prophet? I said, God. Because there are times I'm watching TV or literally not trying to paint a bigger picture for anybody, but like in the shower or driving in my car, and God he would just start talking as if I was already in the conversation, you know. But I'm grateful, and so I've become so used to hearing his voice on a daily basis. But I will say this, I'm never so used to it that I take it for granted, because there's times where he always start off when he about to tell me something. He always just say daughter. There has been time when he say daughter, and because he loves me and you, but because he relates to me like that, sometimes I just break down in tears while I'm driving to work, or, you know, sitting in traffic, or I'm listening to Bible and CD in my car, and he'll just say daughter. He'll just give me something, but sometimes I think, oh my God, you call me daughter. So sometimes I don't hear what he says as a daughter because I'm so in love with God. So I know some of you can relate. He'll just say daughter, like, God, I just love you so much. You know, don't ever go a day without speaking to me, because sometimes I start the conversation, but I don't know how many of you ever hear a preacher say this. Sometimes I don't start the conversation. Sometimes God will just start the conversation. And I'm married to one of the best husbands on the planet, because we can be talking and driving, and I look out the window, and I'm having a whole conversation with the Lord. And my husband, now he knows it, because he's like, you have this look on your face. And, you know, and I'm telling you, it's true. God do speak at the way beyond the speed of thought, because without saying a verbal word, in my mind, I'm having an entire conversation with him. And so my prayer is that any born-again believer gets to that place. I'm telling you, God loves to talk. He do all the time. He, you know, sometimes he may not just give you a word to give to the nation or to the church, whatever. Sometimes he just want to talk to you about you. And sometimes he just want to talk to you about his, I'll put it in a personal sense that we can understand, his ideas, things he's going to do. And oftentimes when I'm reading the word, I mean, I can just be reading the word in my prayer room or just in my bed or sometimes, you know, in the office and things like that. And he'll just talk to me right from his word. Let me give you an example. I was reading about Samson's birth because his mother's womb was closed up, and, you know, the angel appeared, and this is not the lesson, just remember it. The angel appeared to Samson's mother first and told her that she was going to bear a son, and that, you know, he shouldn't drink any strong thing and no razor shall come upon his head. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I think it's like Judges 13 or 14. And I was reading it like last week, and I get caught up in the Old Testament stories because it's like today's drama if you really just take time to read it. So as I'm reading it, and the Lord says, see, I was the first birth control. I said, you know what, Dad? You sure was, because you closed up a lot of wounds in the Old Testament. So I'm like laughing out loud. There is nobody around me. So, you know, when the Lord says, see, daughter, I'm the first birth control. I said, you sure was. You closed up Sarah's womb. You know, you closed up Sarah's mom's womb. You closed up Samuel's mom's womb and things of that nature. And I'm telling you, God, he does have a sense of humor, and he likes to be included in your daily life. And so, you know, when I'm reading certain things in the Bible, in my spirit, I can just hear him talking. And I'm like, you are the original birth control until you wanted a certain person to be born in the earth. So I said that to just say sometimes, you know, don't get stressed out. Oh, my God, I'm praying and God ain't talking. Yes, he is. He is going to talk, and for some of you, you're going to realize he has a sense of humor. Especially when you're in that word on a daily basis. That's why I love reading the word. I don't read the word to preach. I read the word because I'm excited about the word, and I just want to grow, and I want to know what God is speaking to me. And as a minister, I know we all elders and overseers and prophets, but the basic is we are all ministers, and that's a great thing. The Bible tells us that we are all ministers, and I enjoy being a minister because you are a minister. If you're a born-again believer, you are a minister, and I'm a minister. Glory to God. And so when we spend that time with God and we go in the world and we speak, I'm telling you, it's more powerful than any sermon you can prepare for. I don't often prepare for sermons. I just live a lifestyle of just praying because I love praying. I genuinely do. And I love reading the word, not to just because I got to preach. No, I read it because it's hilarious and I can relate to it. New and Old Testament. And I'm telling you, God, when God see you in his word, he'll just drop things in your spirit. I mean, he's such a great dad. He'll just drop things in your spirit to give you revelation, to give you understanding. But listen to this. He also like just being hilarious sometimes. I got a million of stories, but tonight is not the night for that. I'll share it another night. But just listen to, that's one of my favorites, Speak to My Heart, Lord, by Dunn McClurkin. And when I hear a ministry perform that and somebody sing and they really know how to minister, Lord, I just turn my head to the wall because I'm like a big baby. Because that song, it ministers to LaSandra, not the prophet, not the overseer, but to LaSandra, you know, the king's daughter. It ministers to me personally. So I want to get into the Bible. I want to get into, well, first of all, thank you for tuning in to Work the Word Thursday. And you guys know I've been having some great speakers on, but tonight I want to come and just kind of encourage a lot of you because we have a lot going on here in Maryland. And for a lot of you know, it's in Baltimore, Maryland. And if you're a minister like I am, you know, your heart just kind of folds and break a little bit. We know God is in control, but just for the people. And so if you are a minister and a born-again believer, I'm telling you, the best thing you can do in this season is just to pray. So I'm not going to hold you on the broadcast for a long time tonight, but I got a couple of things I want to get to you about finding God's comfort. Because even when this is said and done, people are going to still have certain things lingering in their spirit, lingering in their mind, lingering, you know, on their life. And the reality is the body of Christ, us as sons and daughters, we have to be able to reach out to them and touch them in a way that nobody else can touch them. I see you guys are logging in. The chat room is not open tonight. I see the gentleman, and only because I don't want the broadcast be too long tonight. I want to get these things to you. And I just want you to be in prayer with me and everyone in Maryland tonight. And this is why you always see me putting a hashtag on my Twitter and my Facebook saying we are the body of Christ. This is why I don't get lost in just one church. I don't get lost in one ministry. I'm very clear about the assignment God called me to do. I mean, we can be obedient to where we are called, but, you know, for those of you who you know God has called you to multiple, it's times like this where you need to just really spread what God has given you because, trust me, it's going to make an impact, and trust me, somebody is looking and listening for you. So let's just get into tonight. I want you to write these notes down because I'm this kind of minister. I mean, I know I am an ordained chief elder overseer, but I'm using ministry because as a prophet, I like to relate to everyone. You know, we all are one faith, one body, and I can't express it enough. We are the body of Christ. Some of you are the foot, some of you are the legs, some of you are the elbows, some of you are the fingers, some of you are the lips, somebody's the neck. At the end of the day, Jesus is the head. So what am I saying is, man, I need y'all. I do, and I'm not one of those proud ministers who won't say that. No, I need you, and guess what? You need me. You need me. When we are in our proper place in the body of Christ, we don't compete. We complement each other. And we can do better as a family and as a whole and as one than we can in segregation and different denominations. Bottom line, I would never stray away from that definition. Because that's how, if you read the Bible and the Word of God and start reading about the body of Christ and us being whole and being one, you're going to see a togetherness. You won't see the word, you know, denomination. You love those who are born again. You help them in their weaknesses, and amen, and you gather with them in our strength. That's how we do it. So listen, write this down, finding God comfort in chaos. Because with everything that's going on, especially in Baltimore City, I'm constantly praying for them, and I know thousands of you are as well, and things of that nature. The reference scripture for tonight is Isaiah 40, chapter chapter 40, verse 25 through 31. But and so I kind of wrote some things down. So I'm gonna try to stick with what I wrote down for you today. But if I don't, you guys know how TKD do, okay? Well, let me just do an opening illustration, because whether we are reading the daily paper, listening to the radio, or watching TV, the news, glory to God, it's filled with what one might call the fruits of discouragement. I mean, and even despair. So life is like a continuous newsreel showing the futile actions of people trying to live without a biblical hope. And one solidity fixed on God as their defense and refuge. So without question, we live in a strife-ridden world, unfortunately, one torn by wars, by famine, by disease and sickness, by natural disasters or gigantic proportion, by injustices, as we see going on in Baltimore, and corrupt governments run by self-seeking politicians who are like capricious children. Amen? And you can find all that in Isaiah. Write down Isaiah 3 and 4, too, because that's where I referenced that from. But what is even worse, they rule over a polluter that by and large has become indifferent to the moral improprieties in its leaders. Ours in this world polluted by demonic powers, humanistic ideas, where man is wise in his own eyes and clever in his own sight. So through this satanically inspired man-made wisdom, man perverts and distorts what is good and wholesome, and in the process takes people further and further away from God. Now, as it was in Isaiah days, evil is called good and good evil. Darkness is substituted for light and light for darkness. Bitter is substituted for sweet and sweet for bitter, Isaiah 5 and 20. The root of the problem is that we have become wise in our own eyes and clever in our own sight, Isaiah 5, 21. For we now live in a day where we have not only taken prayer, out of every place, and you guys know even our schools, but where it is against the law for even some teachers or even a judge to have a copy of the Ten Commandments in their courtroom and in the classroom. So people are saying, well, how do we get to this place here? Well, listen to what I'm saying. Now, daily events demonstrates two things in America today, and I wrote this down. One, the restless of yet futile activity of a world full of people who know not the comfort of God because they refuse to live under the shelter of the Most High so that they might enjoy the shadow, which is the comfort and protection of the Almighty. Number two, this is on a daily events, demonstrated two things in America today. Number two is the tragic results of man's choice to ignore God's shelter. The result is a society that, in its mad pursuit to finding meaning and happiness without God, is bombarded by spiritual, social, and moral decay. So Isaiah portrays this as the constant churning of a restless sea with its waves constantly buffeting the shore and casting up mire and mud. Now, what a graphic picture of a moral pollution that covers society. I mean, if you really think about it, you can see some of that today, not only in what's going on in Baltimore, because it's not only a one-sided incident. The reality is the other side have to take responsibility as well. Listen, Isaiah 57, 23-21 reads, Isaiah 57, 23-21 reads this, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose wave cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Now, Isaiah 40 is a passage filled with principles which any believer may draw upon for comfort and strength at any age. And it is a comfort and strength, however, which should lead us as individuals and the churches to experience the promise of Isaiah 40, 31, and Daniel 11 and 32, if I might just add. Because the people of God are reproved for their unbelief and distrust of God. Let them remember that they took the names of Jacob and Israel from a one who found God faithful to him in all his in all his straits. And they bore these names as a people in covenant with him. Many foolish frets and foolish fears would vanish before inquiry into the causes. It's bad to have evil thoughts rise in our minds, but worse, to turn from them into evil words. What they have known and have heard was sufficient to silence all fears and distrust. Where God has begun the work of grace, he will perfect it. He will help those who in humble dependence on him help themselves. So as the day, so shall the strength be, and the strength of divine grace, their soul shall ascend above the world. They shall run the way of God's commandments cheerfully. So let us watch against unbelief. Let us watch against pride. And definitely let us watch against self-confidence. And if we go forth in our own strength, we shall faint and utterly fall. But having our hearts and our hopes in heaven, we shall be carried above all difficulties and being able to lay hold of the prize of our calling in Christ Jesus. So now let me just get to the point, because I wrote down some other things, but I want to get to this. So, okay, prophet, how do we find comfort in chaos? Number one. So write this down. Number one, how do we find comfort in God's chaos? One, acknowledge him as the creator. And that's pertaining to verses 25 and 26. Acknowledge him as the creator. Okay? Note the methodology of this passage, okay? Through a series of rhetorical questions, it makes the reader focus on the greatness of our God rather than on the nature and size of our problems. Compared to God, our problems absolutely are nothing. And this is not to minimize them, okay? So, for problems are real, they cause great pain and are a personal concern to the Lord. But we must learn to see them against the backdrop of an incomparable majesty of God. So when I think about the greatness of God's word and how it points us to God, I am reminded of the child's description of an elevator. I got into the little room, and the upstairs came down. God's word is the little room that brings the reality of God who sits in the heaven down to the realities of my life. I hope a lot of you got that. And so these verses in Isaiah 40, which make up the majority of this chapter, are designed to get us to see our problems, no matter how large, against the background of our incomparable God. The problem is that we turn this around. We stand between God and our problems with our back to God, and we focus on the problems. But by doing so, we completely lose sight of God. And this has the effect of making a molehill out of God and a mountain out of our problems from standpoint of our perspective. God, I hope y'all got that. Let me just say that again. When you look at it in that perspective, it has the effect of making a molehill out of God like he's something small, and a mountain out of our problems from the standpoint of our perspective. I prefaced that to someone today. Your problem is really not that bad. You just need to change your perspective. That's just a reality. God is bigger than your problems. But until you see him in that perspective, in that aspect, your problems will always overtake you by image alone. Oh, Jesus, help me. Did you hear me? By image alone, because it's how you perceive a thing. Now, the results of various forms of sinful attitudes and strategies by which we seek to handle our lives, like depression, like self-pity, complaining, bitterness, demandingness, the instability of wavering back and forth between two opinions, and the oscillation blues like an electronic fan, and other forms of defense and escape mechanisms like withdrawal, revenge, overeating, blaming God, blaming others, blaming conditions, like the weather, and, I mean, whatever it is, you name it. And I'm hoping I'm not talking over you guys' head, because the point is you really have to know, you have to acknowledge him as the creator. It's amazing how people get saved, but then when you don't read and study the word and spend time in prayer, you really don't come into a position to know how big God is. I mean, you guys, he's Oh my God, if God created the heavens and the earth, just think about that. Your paying your light bill is no big deal. Think about it. Paying your car off is no big deal. Getting your child delivered is no big deal. And I'm not being critical, but you just have to see our big, amazing God greater than what you may have magnified your issue. Okay? Now listen. Number two, write this down. Knowing he remembers you, according to verse 27. You got to know that he remembers you. Note first how Isaiah describes the people as Jacob and Israel. As the people of the covenant of promise whom God had redeemed and to whom God had revealed himself and given special unconditional promises. The idea of this question in the context is, since God is not only the creator but also the preserver of all things, even the heavenly bodies, nations, and individual men, how can you, especially as God's people, which with such special unconditioned promises and privileges, say that God has forsaken us? How can we say that? The question asked of Jacob and Israel is designed to rebuke and expose, designed to get them to evaluate their thoughts and actions in the light of God's person. Why? To help them see how far off they have drifted from anchoring their hope in the Lord, okay, in the trials and pressures of life, no matter how severe no matter how severe it is, that's never an indication God has forgotten us or is unconcerned. I don't care what somebody tell you. You have to really know that. And so what do these words, my way is hidden from the Lord, teach us about the hearts and thinking of the people of Judah about our hearts? It could reveal either unbelief or ignorance, or maybe both. Such a statement could reveal unbelief in God's ability to know about all the details of one life, or it could reveal ignorance of God's love and concern to know about one's affair and needs, i.e., okay, example, he's just not interested enough in me to watch out for my needs, or he is not too busy and concerned about other things to be bothered about me. But of course, nothing could be farther from the truth, children of God. Absolutely nothing could be farther from the truth. God's not thinking that at all. Compare the following Old Testament passages where God declares both his knowledge and love or care over Israel. Write this down. Get your pen. Here we go. So I want you to read it for yourself. Deuteronomy 11 and 12, 2 Corinthians 16 and 9, Psalms 34 and 15. Also write down Psalms 55 and 22. Proverbs 5 and 21. Proverbs 15 and 3, and definitely Amos 9 and 8. So when you begin to think, oh my God, he has forgot about me, and you know, I'm insignificant, he don't remember me because I did this. Not true. So remember what I just said and then read those scriptures. I could just read them for you, but I know if you read them for yourself and you get in the word of that thing, God's going to begin to speak to you just like he speaks to me. I'm no different from you guys, and I tell you that all the time. So number three, let's get to number three. Whew, I am getting excited all over again. Okay, here we go. Number three, write it down, okay? Knowing that God never grows weary. God never grows weary, according to verse 28. Knowing he never grows weary. Do you not know? Have you not heard? These questions suggest that not only was their knowledge inadequate and shallow, but it was inadequate, and we're still talking about the scripture I gave you earlier, but it was inadequate because they had failed to truly listen to the word, either because of their absence or because religious externalism had led to closed and hardened hearts. And that's according to, see Isaiah 29:13 for that. Now listen, note the following. I have some principles. Write this down. A, write this down. Okay? Because you have to know, God don't grow, you know, the Bible says he don't sleep or slumber. I've learned that, like, he really doesn't. That's why you can just be praying and talking, and God just, he just intervened because he want to talk to you. He wants your time more than anything. So when you got to get up and pee at night, you have to go use the restroom. And I don't mean be unladylike, but potty, whatever you call it. But God wants some time with you. That's probably the only time he can have some time with you without you doing something else. And trust me, if he started doing that, trust me, you'll grow beyond that because he won't talk to you during the daytime. But listen to these principles I wrote down. A, right? A under number three. Spending quality time hearing and studying the word is just as important to promote careful application of the scripture and facts about God that we know as it is for learning new truth. I'm going to say that again because I actually wrote that down. And these are principles. Spending quality time hearing and studying the word is just as important to promote carefully application of the scripture and facts about God that we know as it is for learning new truth. B, write this down. I kind of ran it in, but I made it a B, okay? But obviously, quality time in the word is not just a matter of being present at a church or having a daily time in the word, okay? Write that down. Quality time in the word is not just a matter of being present at your church or having a daily time in the word. We must have ears to hear. This means a conscience, determined commitment. I hope you're writing. To apply and relate our lives to the word. I'm going to read that again. Quality time in the word is not just a matter of being present at your church or having a daily time in the word. We must have ears to hear. And this means a conscious, determined commitment to apply and relate our lives to the word. Tell you what, write this down too. I want you to just write this down. See Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 52. And note the closing verse. And I'm going to leave you at that. Okay? That's Mark 6, after B. Just write down Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 52. And I want you to note the closing verse. And when you get it, hit me up on Facebook. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. Now, how do we handle our frustration with the problems in life, with everything that's going on around us, okay, and this demanding spirit that so often attacks us? There can be no real comfort in the midst of a spirit that questions God's justice and love. Did you hear me? There can be no real comfort in the midst of a spirit that questions God's justice and love. We must learn to wait on the Lord. But first, we must learn what waiting on the Lord means. And Isaiah now calls on us to wait on the Lord. And here we learn several important lessons and what it means to wait on the Lord. And I'm about to bring this to a close. Now listen, ask questions concerning knowing and hearing the word about God. I'm trying to think I want to. Well, there's a lot in that. But listen, I just want you to read what I just gave you because I want to get to number four. Number four is knowing, Lord Jesus, knowing that God gives you strength. Whew. With everything that's going on in the world, in other countries, and other natures and things, you need to know that it is God that's giving you strength. And that's related to verses 29 through 30, okay? That's relating to verses 29 through 30. If some of you are like, what she mean 29 through 30? We are coming out of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. And I'm breaking down each verse and explaining, okay? Isaiah 40, 25 through 31. And we are on our point number four, and that's knowing God gives us strength. And that explains what Isaiah was talking about in verses 29 through 30, okay? To his weak and feeble people, this is one of his attributes. And his people, therefore, should put their trust in him and look to him for aid. Now, right to the side, because I want you to compare 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 to what I just told you, okay? And listen, the design of this verse is to give consolation to the afflicted and downtrodden people in Babylon by recalling to their minds the truth that it was one of the characteristics of God that he ministered strength to those who were conscious of their own feebleness and who looked to him for support. It is a truth, however, as applicable to us, to the truth, and estimably precious to those who feel that they are weak and feeble and look to God for aid. The most vigorous young men, those in whom we expect, you know, manly strength and who are best suited to endure heartly toil, they become weary by labor. Their powers are soon exhausted. The design here is to contrast the most vigorous of the human race with God and to show that while all their powers fail, the power of God, unexhausted and inexhaustible. My God, let me just interpret that. Even beyond the most youngest, strongest man, did you hear me, somebody? In the human race of God, this shows that while their powers fail, even in that moment, the power of God is unexhausted and inexhaustible. Somebody all just thank God right there in the name of Jesus. Woo! The word here denotes properly those who are chosen or selected. It may be applied to those who were selected or chosen for a hazardous enterprise or dangerous achievement in war. Those who would be selected for vigor or activity, the meaning is this, that the most chosen or select of the human family, the most vigorous and manly, must be worn down by fatigue or paralyzed by sickness or even death. But that the powers of God, oh God, get this revelation, y'all, but the powers of God never grow weary. Jesus. And that those who trust in him should never become faint. Whew, Lord, I love you. Whew, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Okay, I can just, I feel myself trying to go off, but I want to give you this last thing before I just go off. So here is the results for waiting on God. Here is the results for waiting on God. Verse 30, 31. Here's the results. Whew, I feel my spirit getting excited. It's amazing how people think prophets, the only thing we know how to do is prophesy. No, we know how to teach. And you know why we know how to teach? Because we stay in his face. At least prophets, you better stay in his face. And you better stay in his word. Because you're going to teach from that word. And that's how revelation come about. Whew, Lord, help me stay the course. So the last thing I want to give you tonight is, so here's the results for waiting on God. Waiting on God, he shall renew your strength. Listen. And this is according to verse 31. Those who wait is a particular particular of continual action. And it refers to one who is characterized by waiting. Quote unquote, wait is the Hebrew Q-A-W-A-Y, quawa, which means to trust, hope, or have confidence in. So in Hebrew, that's what it means, quawa, which means to trust, hope, and have confidence in. Originally, quawa meant to twist, to bind. It was used of the twisting process employed in the making of a rope, which, of course, produces an instrument of a tool that is strong and capable of holding a heavy weight. Prophet Colton, why you gave me this? Because if some of y'all re-preach this, which is fine with me, I want you to have all the information, okay, because we're talking about waiting. Amen. So those who wait in true faith are renewed in strength so that they can continue to serve the Lord while looking for his saving work, knowing, did you hear me, knowing that there will come a time which all that God has promised will be realized and fulfilled. So in the meantime, the believer who waits survives by continuing on God's goodness, God's love, and God's wisdom. So remember this, we are instruments of God, earthly vessels that he uses to carry out his purposes. Focusing on God and many truths of his word is like weaving and twisting threads into a rope. Come on, somebody. It develops courage. It develops strength. And it definitely develops endurance. And the result, we are formed into an instrument that can be used to glory of God for which we were created and redeemed. Glory to God. Oh, I hope you wrote some of that down. So God calls us to live our faith in his word, in his sovereign purposes, and in his majestic being. Though his ways and thoughts transcend ours, he calls us into comfort one another as we face the difficulties of life with the challenge. So behold, your God reigns. My. Oh my God, I think I'm having way more fun. I think we're having way more fun with this than the most of you. Because as long as we wait in him, I'm telling you, we don't have to worry and we don't have to be stressed out and things of that nature. So is beholding God practical? Absolutely. Absolutely. It replaces our weaknesses with his strength. And that is practical. Isaiah promises this. We will gain new strength, number one. Number two, it lifts us out of despair and allow us to soar above the measure of life. Isaiah promises this. We will mount up with wings like eagles. This means we can soar above the reproaches and pains of this life by hope. Thank you, Jesus. And number three, is beholding God practical? Absolutely. Why? Number three is it gives endurance and turns us into endurance runners. So Isaiah promises we will run and not get tired. Oh, glory to God. Somebody just need to praise God right now. Why? Because we can serve God with all our might. Oh, glory to God. Amen. And he will renew our strength. We can run and not be weary. And we can walk and not faint. Glory to God. You don't have to give in this season. And you definitely do not have to get out in the season. Why? We have a God who sits high and looks low. Glory to God. You don't have to give in to the pressures of this world. You don't have to give in to the pressures of life. You don't have to give in regardless of what your family says. You don't have to give out regardless of what your job declares. You don't have to give away because the church may have thrown you out. Glory to God. Amen. The words of people should not be the end of your story. Glory to God. The word of God, amen, should set in you. Glory to God. And be the last saying. I'm telling you, in this hour, God has the last saying. Oh my God. The Bible says, they that be planted, amen, amen, by the rivers of God shall flourish in the course of our God. Even if someone don't give you a title, I'm telling you, you will flourish. Glory, glory to God. The Bible says that we serve a God who does not sleep and does not slumber. Oh God. That means he will never not look in on you. Glory to God. He's always watching over you. Oh God. This is the same God who have called you out of darkness, not just into his light, but the Bible says, into his marvelous light. This is the same God. Amen. He is Adonai. He is Jehovah Jireh. Oh, God. He is a Jehovah Tiskanu. Oh, my God. We wave the banner because he is God. He is the rose of Sharon. Glory to God. Amen. We are made in the image, oh, God, of him. When he rose up from the grave, thank you, Jesus, we rose up with him with all power. You do not have to be desperate. You do not have to live in despair. You do not have to think depression. You do not have to give out. Why? Because even in chaotic times, God does not leave outside. He will give you a word in a season. He will give you a word in a moment. He will give you encouragement. Glory to God. You just have to lean on the strength, glory to God, of Holy Spirit in this hour. The Bible said that Holy Spirit will will bring all things back to our remembrance, not just the word of God, but what he's impregnated and implanted in your spirit. Oh, God, I just decree and declare right now that you would not faint in this season. Glory to God. You would not be the walking dead. Glory to God. You would not die in this season, that your home would be blessed. Oh, God. You would increase in your spirit. Oh, God. Amen. Do not forget in this season that the word of God is the seed, oh God. And when you plant the seed in the ground, it shall grow, oh God. And people shall be healed. And people shall be saved. Why? Because you plant the ultimate seed. What is that prophet? It's the word of God. Hey, glory. Woo, I feel my priest trying to come in. And I was just trying to teach tonight. I pray that this bless your life on tonight. Amen. I want you to do whatever it is God called you to do. Even if it feels like, and matter of fact, don't trust your feelings, trust the word. If everybody is against you, oh my God, just read in the Old Testament. Most folks did great things, a lot of folks was against it. But if you know and you know, and you got the confirmation from the Holy Spirit that God told you to do it, go forth. And don't just only go forth, go boldly in the things of God. And I'm telling you, you won't be alone forever. God will surround you with people. He will put you in places that what you need and what you have will minister to thousands. Whoo! Holy God, Spirit, I thank you. God, I give you all the praise. I want to thank each and every last one of you for tuning in on tonight. Glory to God. Keep Baltimore, Maryland, amen, in prayers. But let me tell you, there's a lot going on in the world that the people on the news have not shown us. So let's pray for all our sisters and their brothers in the faith. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I prophesy. God is about to do a thing in prophets, dreamers, seers, apostles, prophetic people. You better grow a backbone. You better grow a backbone because God is speaking to us. Let me tell you this. You're going to have to speak it verbatim. You're going to lose some folks. But it's better to be pleasing unto God than to be a pleaser of man. Whew. I love you. I genuinely do with the love of the Lord. My prayer for you is that you stand firm in the word and you do that all God have told you to do in this lifetime. We think this life is a long way. I'm telling you, 120 years have nothing on spending eternity with the Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to spending eternity when that time comes. But while I'm here, I don't want to waste time. I love you with the love of the Lord. Join me on Facebook. My Facebook name is LaSandra Coleman. Join me on Twitter, TKD. I'm sorry, I'm getting my sites mixed up. It's the King's Daughter on Twitter. And then join me on Instagram is TKD_3 because, amen, I join anyone who's truly furthering the kingdom of God. Our goal, our assignment, amen, is to win souls to Christ and to preach the unadulterated word of God. Have a blessed night, and listen, allow God and allow Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Good night. I'm not afraid of the dark.
I'm going to go on.